The following is a teaching by Thamo Naidu. Thamo provides oversight to the Gate Global Family of Churches and is the founder and senior elder of Gate Ministry Sandton, Gauteng, South Africa. His ministry calls the church to return to accurate biblical patterns and to raise up the sons of God to represent Christ in the earth.
We are having a conversation around the ministry and the office of the prophet within this present season called the apostolic. Not that the office is related to the apostolic season. The office was established by Christ himself. And then according to Ephesians, that when he ascended, he gave gifts to men, and to some he gave apostles, and to some prophets, and to some evangelists, to some pastors, and to some teachers. All five gifts come from Christ and should not be prejudiced against, because anything that proceeds out of him, and there are five expressions of grace, and Christ is not just a person, but he is the eternal Logos that expressed himself through the processes of incarnation in a person that we call Jesus Christ. So what he gave of himself was that which was in the Word. And the Word was full of grace, and he dispensed of himself five very distinct and definitive aspects of his nature, and five distinct properties of his person, which is defined by the Word, the eternal Logos. And those five are co-equal, but functionally different. And no person in this place should feel less than should they hold an office that is presumed to be either that of a teacher or a pastor or an evangelist, and presume that it is less important to that of an apostle or prophet. The reason why we're spending so much of time on the ministry of the apostle and the prophet is not because we don't want to talk about the teacher or the evangelist or the pastor, but those three gifts have been very, very beautifully and nicely received by what I would call most periods in human history. The fathers of every epoch of time in human history had no problem with the ministry of an evangelist, the ministry of a teacher, and the ministry of a pastor. They had very serious problems with the ministry of the apostle and the prophet. In church history, we call this that it seemed like that the church at some point glorified the two offices of the apostle and the prophet to the point where they elevated it above the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And as a result, they developed what we call a cessationist view. The word cessation means that they believe that since the canonization of the scriptures, there was no need for the ministry of apostles and prophets. So that's why we're spending so much of time at this school, trying to make sure that the ministry of the apostle and prophet is brought back. Because according to Luke chapter 11, and you can read from 48 to 52 or so, that when you eliminate or you consider the cessation of these two ministries, then you take away the keys of knowledge. And the church then does not have the access codes or the ability to enjoy the treasuries that comes out of the treasure box of God, and these two ministries have tremendous grace to open up a view of eternal things that otherwise would be suffocated or stifled, and that's one of the reasons why we're placing so much of emphasis. I wish we had 30 days, then we can deal with all the other ministry offices. The other thing I want to say before we get into the discussions here today is that Let me just pull something out here. Is that these two ministries, like the other three, are critical for building the body of Christ, not the institution of religion. The fivefold ministry does not build the institution of religion. It builds people, and it builds families. It builds families in which the sons of God is. Hebrews chapter 3 is very clear, and it's connected to Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 onwards, especially going down to 18, where Jesus said, "I will build my church." And Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews, I don't know who it was, whether it was Apollos, Paul, or somebody. We don't know who the writer is. We can't conclusively conclude. But what he said was that Christ, as a chief apostle, is building a house. And each one of us are that house. And it is a house of sons. That's what Hebrews chapter 3 says. But the Bible tells us that Jesus employs contractors to build the house. And the contractors are the fivefold ministers, under a project manager called the apostle. And the apostle works with an architect called a prophet. And together with all the other service providers or subcontractors, which are all co-equal, they all contribute towards building that house of sons. So these fivefold ministers, these five gifts, bring five dimensions of Christ into each one of us so that Christ can be formed in each one of you. So when Paul says, I travail until Christ be formed in you, he's not talking about him building alone. He's talking about building with fellow workers, with co-workers, with craftsmen, with technicians, and sometimes they play the role of nurses and midwives and so forth, but they all are working under the oversight of a project manager whom we would in this context call the master builder, the apostle. So these are very important things to situate when we're having this discussion on the subject of fivefold ministry, because we sometimes can miss the trees for the forest. We can get so fixated with the office that we don't see it within the bigger picture of what God is building. So it is in that context that all of these five ministries have to come to contribute something to the building up of the corporate son in each one of our spiritual households. And their presence should contribute towards all the properties that is needed to form Christ in each one of us. Christ, the Son of God. Thou art the Christ, comma, Son of God, upon this rock, this template, this blueprint, I will build my church. So when we talk about the prophet here, we have to talk about how that they would come to give us a perspective or a purview of the architecture and design for each one of our lives in this many-membered body. They must come to contribute in a definitive way, not to giving you personal prophecies to tell you who you're going to get married to and which new car you're going to buy and how you're going to get the next million and you know how nice your life is going to be, and so forth. And some of those things will happen because God's concerned about your domestic lives also. But the big picture is that they are coming to help you to understand how to be a son that has the sensory capacity to see the things God wants you to see in the environment in which you are functioning. They must be able to make you prophetic. They must make you a representative of God in the vocational fields that God has placed you. They must help you to see the multiple dimensions of how Christ in you would be expressed. In fact, while they are silos, like the prophets are a silo of grace to bring that dimension of the prophetic to you. But actually, and hear me very carefully, actually every believer should have all of the fivefold in them. You should be apostolic. You should be prophetic. You should be evangelistic. You should be pastoral. And you should be a teacher or a didactic expression of Christ wherever you are, through your skill sets, through your representation of Christ, and so forth. I need to say that. In fact, prophets are not coming to entertain you. I am so sick of this dimension where people run to a prophet. You got a nice word for me? Got another word? We're not going to a witch doctor. Okay? We're not going to a future teller. We are not going to somebody like that. What we are going to, what we're wanting to have is the capacity to exercise a dimension of Christ wherever God positions you. So all of the fivefold should be in all of us, in a certain way, to represent God wherever you are. If you go, do an analytic study of a Daniel, who was a politician, of a Joseph, who was an economist, you will find that they were very apostolic. They were very, because the Spirit of Christ was all upon all of them. Go study First, Second Peter, chapter 1 about that. The Spirit of Christ was all upon all of them. They were apostolic. They were prophetic. They were very evangelistic. They introduced kings to their God, even though some never converted. They were extremely pastoral. And they could tell you about their God. They could give you the teachings of their God. That's how every one of us should be. That's what I need to bring. And the other thing I want to bring through this conversation to them is that if this grace comes to us, and I can give you many examples of that. The feeding of the 5,000 is a good example. God took five loaves, and later on he says, he doesn't say, I am five loaves of bread that came from heaven. He said, I'm the bread from heaven. Didn't he say that in John chapter 6 when he was feeding the 5,000? But he took five loaves, and later on he told us that the five loaves constitute the one big loaf that came from heaven. He also said that he took the five loaves of leftovers and put it into 12 baskets. In other words, he took these five offices, put it into 12 baskets, representing 12 apostles, and said to them, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you will become a silo, and the Holy Spirit will take of that grace, the fivefold, and he'll place it upon people in every generation. Okay, so what we have to understand is that we have to create a systemic presence. I want to introduce the word systemic presence through how we build our houses, that every one of the fivefold graces will be present in our houses. And if the people don't even know they are prophetic, the presence is so strong. Like how you get systemic poverty caused by history, caused by colonialism, by apartheid, caused by all the evils, and we simply can't break it anymore by trying to be a humanitarian church. When you start to operate in the fivefold graces of God, and they come into a corporate environment which is infectious, like how Saul was so unorientated in the prophetic, and he couldn't even keep donkeys. He lost his father's donkeys. Remember, they went astray. And he stumbled upon this company of prophets. And suddenly, when he came into the presence, he couldn't keep donkeys. How can he keep the prophetic? And when he stumbled into the presence, he started prophesying. And they said, is Saul amongst the prophets? And then they asked the question, whose son is he? How could this have happened if he didn't have prophetic sight to find donkeys? He was searching and looking for donkeys because he had no prophetic sight. And then suddenly he stepped into this environment and he's on frequency with the prophets. He's speaking on such a powerful level. What's the point I'm making? We have to come to a place where people come into our environments. They don't have to be taught anything. The moment they're in the environment, they can speak the wisdom of God. When they're in the marketplace, they are like apostles there, and they are like prophets, and they are like evangelists and teachers and pastors, innovations, inventions, wisdom, counsel, all the stuff is transferring. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I don't want to segmentize the fivefold ministry. The ultimate is that the body must be beneficiaries of the fivefold till they come to the oneness of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, and to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Can you imagine what the fivefold? Some people want to be an apostle. Listen, have all the five, man. But don't call yourself apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, pastor, apostle, teacher. You know, it'll be too long a title for your forehead. Just call yourself Son of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So in that context, we're going to go into some questions. But before I do, you may have had some comments or something you want to quickly say before we start from the last session. Anything you want to say? Anything on your minds before we start asking these questions? Are you getting the full picture here today? Are you getting the fathers of houses? Can you see what you need? You need all of the five to come into yours. That doesn't mean you have to have a fivefold government in your church. Anything you want to say? Anything in general before I ask you the questions? These are difficult questions. You better pass them.
I think there was a question raised, not so much from the audience there, but from us, concerning the administration of a prophetic word. Now, the question was, how do we go about administrating a prophetic word? If you receive from the moment you receive the word, what is the next steps in order for that word to be stewarded until it comes to fruition? So I think maybe in the course of, you know, the questions here, we will also attend
to
that.
Okay, let's talk about it, because I said we have to create a systemic presence. Okay, we want to create such an intense presence that if somebody stepped in and never read the Bible before, didn't know a thing, they come into this environment, they stay long enough in it, and suddenly they're operating on frequencies and levels, because there's what we call the transference of grace. Sometimes you call it impartation or importations or imputations. Let's talk about that. How do we create that environment without every Sunday giving somebody a prophetic word? How do we? You want to start with that? Anyone. We don't have to all three answer any of these questions. If one can answer it, it saves the other a little bit more lifetime.
I think that we have been so easily misinformed. If someone like that came into this environment, it is not always expedient to impress them with a prophetic word. What I've learned is that prophetic words always stays fresh. I can perceive a word through visions or through something that I hear, but I don't immediately go to that person to release the word. It may be a day, a week, or longer. But the word of God is always fresh. So if someone came in, I think that many people are motivated to impress others. And so they step out of the grace and they can release a prophetic word, and that word can be accurate. But that context has to change. And we have to understand that we must better inform people as to how the prophetic word operates. But then there could be someone who walks in and immediately God says, this is the word of the Lord to them, and it's right on. And after you release the word to them, you move on, the person tracks you down, and they begin to give you information that confirms that this is something that they have presented to the Lord. But me as a prophet, I'm not looking for you to confirm that word, because I know the voice of God. So I think that the prophetic dynamic of the charismatic season has come to an end. I believe that one word can be spoken in here to someone, and we all must be in tune, because prophecy is for the edification of the body. If you want something personal, then pray in tongues. Tongues is for your edification. Pray in tongues. So that's how I perceive that.
I think we also have to look at it from the way that the new season is set up, the household is set up, and that is that there's a father with sons. And the vision of the father is the vision of the sons. And therefore, when there is when a prophetic word is released over a father or a house, then that word is for every single individual. Then the administration is that everybody would tap into that word and find their configuration in relation to their spiritual father to work it out and build it out. In terms of personal prophecy, it has to do with our maturity. The more immature we are, the more we will seek prophetic words, and we will seek prophetic words for a relief of a trial and tribulation, or we will want to know, is God going to bless us, and all of those kind of things. So we will seek prophetic words because of not knowing that there are certain concepts and designs as part of the covenantal relationship that we have with the Father because we are a son. And then certain things are automatic and certain things work for us, and therefore we do not need a prophetic word for that, if I can, you know, give that. The more mature you become, the less prophetic word you receive, because you're able to hear the voice of the Lord more and more yourself. That's a reality. In the younger we are in the Lord, if I look at my prophetic words that the Lord has given me, many of the prophetic words that I received was when I was younger in the Lord. The Lord was directing me, instructing me, and he was handling my immaturity by encouraging me and keeping me in a certain direction. But then as we went on later on, I find that because of concepts, designs, or principles, I don't need prophetic words because of the principle and because of certain dimensions. Certain things is granted unto me. So it has to do also, as the word become clearer, we seek prophetic word less.
Okay, yeah. And what has been said is absolutely correct. But I want to really focus on how do we create a corporate environment for people to be impregnated with the spirit of prophecy, so that we don't have to always administrate the gift of prophecy or the office of the prophet, as in coming to give prophetic words to a church. And this is very, very important to me. One of the things that God taught me in recent months, I don't know if this is an apostolic grace, but he said to me, you have to craft a house that will raise my son. And I know, as I already alluded to, that house must produce the five dimensions of Christ, the five properties, which we call the fivefold ministry, to produce the Son. The Son is not going to be produced in any other way. These five dimensions has to be imparted, transferred to the Son. When you get to heaven, there's going to be no apostle there, no prophet, no evangelist, no pastor teacher. You'll only get elders and the sons of God, fathers and sons in the heavenly dimension. All ministry, all of the fivefold ceases at the coming of Christ. This is a reality because the body is built. The primary purpose of the fivefold is to transfer all of the grace that is in you into the households that God has placed you over. For example, no apostle is called to the whole church, but to a section of the church. No apostle has universal jurisdiction. He has regional jurisdiction dictated and determined by God. His purpose is to empty himself into that region so that God can expand his boundaries. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, if this grace that is in me can be fully settled or established in you, then maybe God will expand my horizon and take me to new territories because others can benefit from it. But it's all subject to how you receive it. And I think that principle is applicable to the prophet and to all the other ministries. So the question is, how do we craft an environment that is so laden, so rich with these five graces that when people come into it, they get infected by it? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because otherwise we're going to get into domestic and micromanagement of the gifts. And wisdom builds the house. Wisdom cuts the seven pillars. Wisdom prepares a table. Wisdom slaughters their meat according to the size and capacity of each member. Wisdom mixes a wine. Before wisdom invites people to come in, and wisdom uses its first virgins to go out to the high places and invite people to come and partake of this. How do we create a corporate environment where when a prophet comes in, he leaves a presence? I mean, Elijah had such a presence that even when he was dead and they dug his grave up, they touched his... I mean, what happened there? Somebody touched... He was dead and they became alive. There was such a presence. You know. While I'm not big on the title, it doesn't mean I may not. I don't understand the office of an apostle. But if I have such a strong presence here, in this local church called Gate Ministry Sandton, should it not automatically transfer to most of my sons that are prepared to be plugged in, connected? Should they not be doing great feats? Do I have to sit with every one of them and train them on how to be apostolic or to represent God in their skill sets? No. The corporate anointing that comes from this pulpit must touch them. I mean, if you went to somebody's house like Kubus's or Sean's, or because Anthony's translocal, he's itinerant, but he's got sons in different churches. I mean, all of these houses, if I go into the houses and they're not prophetic, then these guys are, I've got a problem with them. I'm saying it nicely. You understand what I'm saying? If the predominant grace is pastoral, that whole house should be strongly pastoral. Caring, loving, kind, gracious, patient. How do we create these systems? They're called systems, ecosystems. They're called structures, substructures. They're called silos. I mean, if you connected yourself to a Joseph, you will do everything Joseph does. If he's a little plant planted by a wall, that must grow to a place where even the wall can't contain it. His branches creeps over. You know, it creeps over the wall. Because that's the grace of fruitfulness, addition, increase, multiplication. That's what happens. And that's where, what I've been saying for years now, the days of guest speakers are over. You don't bring guest speakers to your church. You bring craftsmen. If I know that this house is weak in the area of the prophetic, I must bring a prophet to deposit the grace of the prophetic so that my people don't have to come and say to the pastor every Sunday, "Pastor, give me, please tell me what I must do. Should I buy a black car or a blue car? Pastor, tell me, you know, should I take this job or shouldn't I take it?" Yes, they can. They need safety and counsel and all that, and it's found in a multitude of elders. But they should be able to make decisions, and they should mount the decisions only to get confirmation. They shouldn't come for counseling. Some people love counseling. I mean, I'll get sick if somebody came to me and I must sit for 10 hours every week with them and tell them all the things they have to do. That's micromanagement. That is poor leadership. That's a sick leader, I think, as a narcissistic leader who loves attention to spend 10 hours teaching somebody. Now, please hear me, because this is what the pastors are doing. They're doing what Moses first did until Jethro told him, "You can't do this." And later on God told him, I'll transfer the same spirit that's on you on 70. That's the principle of diffusion. I'm talking about fivefold ministry, how we diffuse the grace. And this is saturation. This is no more the man on the stage putting on a show so that everyone can celebrate him. Can we produce these people? That's the system building I'm talking about. And I think we have to ask God for wisdom on how we as leaders can bring these graces and build the systems to contain the grace. So there's no spillage, there's no loss of the grace. Because there's a lot of spillage in our church. There's lots of spillage. So that's what I'm saying. You know, I had to train myself. I'm not a prophet, but I can step into an environment and for 8 hours speak prophetically. But my prophetic speaking is the word, the Moshe word. I can speak for hours, and I will speak directly into a situation without looking at my notes. That's an ability because I learned how to connect, plug in, draw from these guys, train my ears, train my eyes. So it's natural. I'm not a prophet, but I can operate as a prophet. And some guys have seen me do it. You understand what I'm saying? That's supposed to be something that every member of the body of Christ should be doing. Oh, you remember what Moses said? Oh, how I wish that all God's people became prophets. What did Acts 2 say, quoting Joel 2, that when the Spirit comes upon us, all flesh will prophesy. And we are getting so pedantic, should a 30-year-old... if somebody, how do emerging apostles or prophets under 30 years? There's no age with grace. A child can prophesy. A child can become a king at 8 years old. There's no 30 years old with God. Grow in local family, son perspective, and what are the marks of the readiness to walk in their office? There's no marks. It's maturity. Maturity. You can be 12 years old and be mature. God determines that. Yes, Jesus lived in an Old Testament era. That's where they waited 30 years. If he was one of us in the New Testament, it was 12 years, God would release him into ministry if he's mature. You understand? There's no youth ministry, children's ministry, Sunday school ministry in the Bible. We invented it because we didn't know how to manage our kids and our youth. If you come under the Spirit, all these things should operate. Are you understanding how far we've gone from God? Are you hearing me? I'm not saying you must go and shut your youth ministry and Sunday school now. We have women's ministry and men's ministry and all the ministries. But I'm saying there's no such thing as age groups in God. If you have grace, you're part of an ageless company. Are you understanding the 42nd generation principle? But go ahead and talk to me.
I wanted to say that The way that we build the culture is that we have to dismantle the old mindset. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. One of the things that I've learned in training a prophetic people, when I say prophetic people, people teaching them how to flow prophetically or identifying those prophetic grace gifts and walking alongside of them, is that we have to understand that the prophetic can just operate so organically through conversations. And that's why it's important for us to share our stories, that when you share your stories, the prophetic frequency kicks in. I think that sometimes we think that you need a person to come and tell you your future. Just as Colbus said earlier, that as you mature, you know how to tap into the Word, and you look into the Word, and the Word speaks to you. I mean, many times for me, I'm at my best in writing prophetic words. And those prophetic words are birthed out of my study of the Word. If you study the Word, then the prophetic frequency operates. And as you converse with other people, people begin to get it. It is the testimony of Christ. It's His working in our lives. It's how He's transforming us. And the notion that you need someone who is a prophet to tell you your future has to be dismantled. We have to educate and inform.
I think we must start at one point here, and you've touched on it, and Kubus also alluded to it, and Sean can contribute to this. I think if we are going to bring the new, you can call it a new wineskin, because the other one got smoked. It became a smoked wineskin. It can't contain the new wine. We've for example, in the context of the prophetic, we've gone to an Old Testament operational view of the prophet. And I said this in the last session to them. In the new, there's almost an absence of a reference to the office of the prophet. Yet that office is not redundant, because he gave some to be prophets, and the church is built on the foundation. Mark the words. What's a foundation? The hard drive, the operational system of apostles and prophets. Okay? So just remember that. So what should we do if we're going to create a new wineskin, a new operational system? According to my understanding, which is an apostolic understanding, you have to uproot, tear down, and throw out. Or, in agricultural language, you have to plow the field. Okay? And you cannot build, if I use architectural language, you cannot lay new foundations on old foundations. So one of the things that we all have to do is shut down our view that when we talk about the prophet, we're talking about somebody that's coming to prophesy to us. And that does not mean he would not prophesy. That's not the point. What we have to then do is we have to deconstruct an old worldview of who a prophet is and create a new worldview of that prophet. Am I correct? Okay. So this is my view, that the first and primary purpose of a prophet is to come into an environment to deposit a grace that will train people or empower people or animate people or equip people or build people to be able to know how to make decisions in their spatial context, that they would be prudent, judicious, and accurate in knowing the counsel and mind of God for their daily living. Are you hearing me here today? Most of our people cannot make decisions because they do not have the mind of God. The prophet has a kind of a sensory system. It's built in him to just know what God wants for that moment. He speaks to the moment, or he speaks to how you prepare yourself for the immediate future, or for the not so future, or for the distant future, whatever. He prepares you. Prepares you. So that when you are in any situation, you could know how to interpret God's will for your life in that context. This goes beyond just saying, hey, give me a word. And every Sunday people want a word. Not realizing that the greatest prophetic word is God's word. It tells you your future. It tells you everything you need to know. What the prophet comes to do is give you finer details on how you manage what God has already promised you in the word. Am I correct in that? Am I correct? So some of us just want to be massaged with words every week because we don't know the Bible. But a prophet comes to teach you what God's will is. And I told you how it's done in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they first cited the law. They taught the word. And then they told you how to apply it to the context of your life. And if you had gone away from the word, they'll tell you how to repent so that you would terminate the judgment that has come upon you. So these are very important aspects. So I think the first step that has to take place, if we are going to create a new culture, a new environment in this season, is that our prophets and those that are living in that office and functioning from it must come to deconstruct mentalities about who they are. And they have to deconstruct the old wineskin of the Old Testament prophet, because the New Testament prophet doesn't work like how the Old Testament prophets worked, even though the capacity of these individuals could be comparable, you know, the function, the nature of them. Do you want to say anything with regards to that? In terms of building the infrastructure or the environment by first starting by uprooting an old mindset so that we can put in a new mindset. Because the questions I'm hearing here is Old Testament. Is Old Testament questions. Old Covenant questions. And some of them are brilliant. They are very important because it's helping us to know how we interpret things. But I think this is going to be very important.
Okay. Environment. The creation of context within which the prophetic can function, not as we have heard a whipping up of the emotion, but it's got to do with intent. I think that we must be very intentional in wanting to build the architecture that would produce an environment conducive for the prophetic to flow. Now, we can only go into the scriptures to get some understanding. In the book of Acts chapter 13, can we just go there quickly? Acts 13, and we look at verse 1 and 2. This was the time where Barnabas and Saul got separated to go on their first missionary journey. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and then the Bible also includes Saul there. So in other words, first of all, when you look at the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Before the word apostle is actually used in the book of Acts, we see this in Acts 13. What did these people do? Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, question is, how did the Holy Spirit speak? Surely he had to speak through the mouths of the prophets that were present. The Holy Spirit said, separate for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto which I have called them. So first of all, in the creation of prophetic atmosphere, there is the issue of fasting, there is the issue of ministering in praise and worship unto the Lord, like we have experienced here for the times that we have come here. Music creates atmosphere, but the right music that is intent on the worship of the Lord, it brings an atmosphere, an environment is created within which the supernatural can take place. That's number one. Can we go to 2 Kings 13? Because we need to...
Want to say something here. I want you, if you're writing now, we are creating a new wineskin on how the prophetic functions in our churches. Make that. If you are leaders of a church, you are fathers of a church, because no prophet can come to your church without you giving permission. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is very important for everyone to understand here. This is not just coming to listen. You have to apply this. The first thing is that we are creating a new wineskin by removing an old wineskin. And to do that, we have to give ourselves to fasting and prayer. That's part of the preparation. Let's carry on.
Yes. Okay. Now, I said that there must be intent. The intent is going to flow through those that governs the house. In the recognition that there are prophets within the fivefold expression of Christ. And what's the work of the fivefold? It's to equip the saints.
Okay, Sean, let me just interrupt you for there. But remember now, in the church at Antioch, we're not talking about a local church.
Yeah, yes.
We're talking about a city church.
A city church.
A church made up of I don't know how many congregations. So don't think about a prophet in every local house.
Yes, yes.
We're talking about a prophet, part of the fivefold, that was helping the corporate church in Antioch. Okay, multiple small little congregations scattered all over Antioch, but they were connected to a prophetic source.
Yes.
Not like the church today, which is so divided and dismembered. Carry on.
Okay, so when we speak here now, we're not speaking in the context of a local church, right? Because the fivefold is not primarily given for local church. If there are in the local church fivefold, then it's fine. But I believe it's the fivefold has been given for the body of Christ. Whether the body is found within a territory, a jurisdiction, in the nations. But that's the functionality of these five graces that God has given to the church. And so it is, I believe that when that corporate, in that corporate environment where the body comes together and the Holy Spirit wants to speak, that in this case, we see there was prayer and fasting. And then the Holy Spirit said, separate for me, Saul and Barnabas. So we know that the Holy Spirit hasn't got a mouth physically, but there were in that church teachers and prophets. So then he had to employ the voice.
Okay, so there
of the
again,
prophet.
We have. I just want to put this on pause, and I want to make sure that we understand what we are doing, because now wisdom must build what we want to build in our environments. We don't live in the normal situation of the church in the Book of Acts, Acts 13. We are very divided by denominationalism, by sectarianism, by private and personal opinions, and the church is fragmented. So how are you going to bring the prophetic? Because we don't have one, the prophetic or the fivefold ministry operating, let's say, in Santon. We've got churches that will not have anything to do with what you want to do. You can't work together. How are we going to fix this? So this is how you fix it. You have to start believing And this is where wisdom comes in. You have to start believing that while in your local church, you do not have a prophet, you must be connected to an apostolic source,
yes,
where there is the presence of a prophet. You must be connected to an apostolic source. For example, in Antioch, Antioch was not connected to Peter. Antioch was not connected to James. Antioch was not connected to any other apostle. They were actually connected to Barnabas, who was the presiding one there. And later on, Barnabas realized he can't do it himself, and he brought Paul in. And then it became, first it was Barnabas and Paul, then it became Paul and Barnabas. Are you hearing me? So that's when Paul then became a predominant figure in that church. So the apostolic presence was first Barnabas before it became Paul. So what I'm suggesting, the application, the contextualization of the message now is that every group of churches represented here should know who your apostolic sources, and in that source there'll be a gene pool of resources. One will be a fivefold minister, or will be a prophet or an evangelist or whatever. And you need to know how to pull on that grace if you know your house is lacking that grace, to be able to know how missions will take place and so forth, so that there's a prophetic presence, and eventually you will know how to send people out from your church because of the prophetic. Am I correct in what I'm saying? Yes. So please apply that to your lives and say, God, am I bringing prophets in to build my people if I have an absence of the presence of... For example, Sean may not need a prophet in his house or Kubas to come and teach. They may need an apostle or a teacher or an evangelist to come in. But they have to be connected to a gene pool, a group of service providers that will be able to do that. Let's carry on now.
Okay. So the fivefold is the way I see it. Now, again, we speak on, not on the local level, but we're speaking on the regional. We're speaking about the church in the context of a city where God has drawn together the entire body of Christ within a region. And as we have heard, that is actually not really happening all over right now. But God is busy showing us that these things are now coming together. And the grace that is missing within the house is where you will have to, as a senior elder in your local church now, as we have heard, you got to analyze, look, survey what's going on in your local congregation. How do I bring prophetic spirit? How do I bring apostolic awareness to my people? And so the grace that lacks within the local house, you got to then connect with an apostle if you need an apostle. But we talk from our perspective here, Apostle Thamo, in terms of the gate community, that what we want to create this atmosphere. So we have spoken, first of all, prayer fasting, right? Now, let us go to 2 Kings 13, and we read from verse 14 to 16 quickly. So as we get that scripture ready, there is also the creation of an expectation through the impartation that flows through teaching. So we need to teach our people to be expectant. They need to have the knowledge and the know-how how the prophetic functions within the context of an environment. So there's also the issue of teaching. We need to teach them, equip them, educate them. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that we must desire the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophesying, because prophecy is for what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. So those dynamics must define everyone within that context, they must know why prophecy is given by the Lord. Exhortation, comfort, and the other one was edification. That's not just the function of a prophet now, but each one, everyone in the body of Christ must have the desire to prophesy. That's what Paul says. There must be the creating of a desire in the heart, an expectation, and that's how faith for the prophetic is built. Desire, first desire, got a desire. But if you don't have understanding of what you desire, then where do you project your desire upon? So you got to have teaching on what you desire, which is teaching the people on the prophetic and how it functions. And then faith is stirred, right? Now, here's another way in 2 Kings. Let's look at this.
2 Kings chapter 3, Second, verse 5.
15, okay. Verse now 15. It says, let's look at verse 15. But now bring me a musician or a minstrel. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Next verse. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. What I want to bring across there is the imperative of minstrels that must be crafted to understand the flow of the Spirit and what they, it's not so much the instrument, but they are the instrument through which that instrument must begin to speak. So in other words, there's the activity or now of accurate engagement with the musicians now. The musicians must also now be trained to hear the voice of the Lord, to be sensitive to the Spirit. So in other words, the musicians are going to play also a role now with the singers, because that facilitates the process of the voice and the hand of the Lord comes upon, and then prophecy is the outcome of that. So they're skilled musicians now. You can't just have any guy here at the back whose life is not in order. There's moral blemishes. There's things that he's doing, but he comes on a Sunday and you put him in front here and he leads the worship. No, these guys that are up here must have lives that are pure, upright, holy before God. People of faith, people of belief, that understands how the prophetic works, have the desire to lead, so that when they lead, they want to see a presence created. And in that presence, the environment is created that the voice can be released.
That's very good. Okay? Very good. So let's get the next point. So prayer, fasting.
Can I add something?
Let me just add this, and then you can add to the comments. So let's get the points, because we're helping the pastors here now to establish an environment for the prophetic to flow in an uninterrupted way, unbroken way. So we're saying that if we want to be in a church where the prophetic flows, we have to create an environment for fasting and prayer, but we also have to create an environment where the environment is perfumed with the spirit of worship. And while music and singing is not worship, it's one of the vehicles that perfumes an environment that becomes pregnant with presence, so that you can connect your spirits to the presence of God. Yes. And when you are with Him, you become prophetic, because you can't be anything less than what your Father tells you. Go ahead, Dersh. So how do we? So we're moving away from the entertainment model, the performance model, the choreographed model. Am I correct? The loud, bombastic music. Right. Because God is not in the noise. A shout of God is not a scream. The shout is very different. So we just need to make sure we... Now we're crafting an environment. Am I correct? Because tomorrow I'll be talking to you when we finish with these sessions on how to build a house of excellence. But talk about the crafting side of this, a dialogue around it with another panel. Okay, go ahead now.
I would like to stress also this fact, that to hear God's voice, you do not just hear, you do not just need, or you don't also need the prophetic to hear God's voice. And I think this is a thing that we might miss. Every born-again believer has the ability to hear God's voice without the gifts. And I want to divide it in this two. One is I can hear God, when I hear God as a prophet, when I hear God for myself, God speak to me in my spirit. When I have to hear God on behalf of another, He speak to me through my gift. So,
say that again, let everyone register that point. It's a very important point. Say it one more time.
When God speak to me as a prophet concerning myself.
Okay, let's qualify this. When God speaks to you as a son concerning yourself.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He would speak to me in my spirit, like He speak to any other believer. Any other son. That son might not even have the gift of prophecy or baptized in the Holy Spirit. He might not even be able to speak in tongues. He has the Spirit of God, the sons of God.
You just opened a can of worms. I'm going to get another 50 questions.
Now. Yeah. Sons of God. I'll qualify it better.
No. You're good.
Sorry.
I'll correct you if you're wrong.
The scripture says the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God.
Exactly.
Period. Every born-again believer has the Spirit of God. He can hear God's voice.
Can you register that point? If you say that you are born of God, you have received the spirit of adoption to cry out, Abba, Father,
yeah.
You should have the capacity to hear God.
Yeah.
But sometimes, because of the fallen man, we have to train you to hear God.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Practices that we have neglected and it's fallen away in the church. You will hear the old Pentecostals speak and said that they prayed this matter through. And they would go into the inner room. And there's still some that does this. And they will stay there. And that's what Thalma will speak about, the closet. Doesn't matter where it is. You can go into the bush, you can be in your car, you can be wherever you want to be. That means you're engaging God. You are praying, you are asking, you are knocking, and you're not stopped knocking until you've heard. The next morning, 6 o'clock, they bath, wash their face, stand up, get dressed, go to work, and they've heard the voice of the Lord. They know what to do. One of the aspects that we neglect is that personal prayer to seek God's face, to knock and to seek out that we can hear the voice of the Lord. I think we must not be deceived that you think you need the prophetic gifting to hear God's voice. It's not true. You guys can help me, right? It's not true.
So the biblical norm is that you have to be baptized in the Spirit of God to be an oracle of God. To prophesy is to be a mouthpiece of God. And the Spirit gives utterance to that. Am I correct?
Yeah.
On the day of Pentecost, we get definition to what happened. That when the Spirit was poured out upon the 120, they all spoke in a heavenly tongue, glossolalia. And that tongue was translated by various nations. I think about 40 nations were present, or something like that. 16 nations were there, and each one heard their language. So the principle is that when the Spirit falls, God speaks. That's the principle. When the Spirit falls, God speaks. So can we conclude on that matter, and you can further amplify it? because I want to bring this back, because sometimes I think we reduce the Holy Spirit in the old order that I came out of to after I preached. Now the Spirit of God is coming. I can see him coming from the door. I was, you know, and now we're moving into the Spirit. And then that's the time when you have to pray for people and they fall down. Then God moved. So before that happened, you preach without the Spirit. That's what it means. Okay, so can we believe that 24/7 we should be in the Spirit, under the leadership of the Spirit?
Yeah.
That we have to make sure that the environment that we are creating as a congregation for our corporate gatherings is always an environment that is Spirit friendly, that the Spirit is comfortable being with us, that he's not excluded from our gatherings. Because I think we need that if we're going to create this new church, this new wineskin,
yeah,
that it's Spirit rich.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, before I go on to the gifting, part of our problem might be, this, I choose my words right, it's probable that, that you can't take me to court, that the problem of our houses starts with us.
Now define us.
Us, the local pastor, the father, the senior
elder, the leader of every household.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our ears are dull. We cannot hear the word. We cannot hear God. It's the same problem that when we expect our people to tithe, but we ourselves cannot tithe. Mm-hmm. You bring the prophet into the house, and you send them on a prophetic school, you want the exhortation, you want the growth of the prophetic, you want them to grow up, but you yourself, your ear is dull. You yourself not praying and seeking the Lord out. This problem of seeking and knocking has a similar problem as developing under the gift. Meaning this, I need to seek the Lord and pray. I need to knock and it will be opened up. So I knock until it's opened, because I'm a son. God is my father. He speaks to me. When I am filled with the Holy Spirit, of which speaking in tongues is part of that, it makes it easier, because then I speak to the Lord directly. We want that. When the Lord endowed the gifts of the verbal gifts into my life, it becomes even more easier, because now I can exhort another. Now I can encourage another with the gifting, because the gifting, the gifting is not for myself. A gifting is for another. I have a gift for another. My prayer life is for myself. My gift is for another. My tongue, I speak to my Father directly. But when I operate in the gift, it is for another. Now, we find that in prophetic schools, we activate, and under the activation of the season, the time that we have the school, there people will come forth. If you leave them for a time to go back home, you find that same person in another prophetic school starting up again as if they've never heard this gifting or anything around the prophetic. The reason for that being this. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, seek out charity and desire, and he touched on it, desire the best gifts so that you all might prophesy. Same way, we lack to hear the voice of the Lord in our personal life because we do not pray enough, we do not pray it through, we also do not desire the gift. We think it will fall in our lap. You have to work this gift. It's not works, but you have to practice the gift. You have to have the desire to have the gift. You must go for it. You must go and take it. Listen, this season that we are in is a season of impartation. I am connected to an apostolic grace. He is a spiritual father that is here, and I am in Botswana. He is in America. Others is in Europe. Others is in different in South America. But in that connection, they can draw that connection from here to South America. Draw apostolic grace in that person can draw apostolic grace into his life because of the covenantal relationship that there is. We have in our context where I come from, and people didn't want to send pastors didn't want to send believers to come to the prophetic schools because they say if this man going to prophesy, he's going to come back. And then he starts his own church. So he says, I'm not sending my people. I don't want them to prophesy. I can hear on their behalf. And what I'm telling you is the truth now. So they move nowhere. And then if they go, they had that problem. So the pastor also kept the sons of the local house. They kept the ear dull. He kept them immature. I'm talking now in general. But now, so that must be dismantled. That we are the man of the hour and that we can hear on behalf of everybody. It's not true. Everybody can hear. If you say something what God has spoken, they will say, I witness it, I've heard it, I've heard it, I've heard it. So that's the one aspect. The second aspect is that the son is dormant. The son thinks he's received the impartation. He doesn't need to do anything with this gifting that he has received and that he has to work with. And that he has to practice, and that he has to continue on working in and functioning in.
I think we must just make sure that we understand this within certain frameworks. Unfortunately, our time is up. Can you believe it? So prayer, seeking God, is very important. But I just want you to understand that prayer cannot be done without giving yourself to the Word. Prayer is a soulmate to studying the Word. The word is higher than prophecy. That's why the Word is called, the Scriptures refer to the Word. I mean, Peter refers to the Scriptures as a more sure word of prophecy. If you want to be prophetic as a leader, you cannot have a conversation with God outside of His Word. That's why the Bible says that if you love me, you will love my Word. So, and for me, prayer is not intense shouting, screaming, even though you can speak for hours in tongues. I love speaking in tongues in prayer. But most of my conversations with God is around His Word. The more I get to know the Word, the more I am prophetic. Because the Word can't lie. So if you say that you're creating or crafting an environment in your church, you have to also, and you want to remove the wax from your ears or the dullness, you would have to increase your ability to have conversations with God. These are closet times, but it must be centered on asking Him things concerning His Word and how you are going to lead your church. Right, so while we've got fasting, prayer, perfuming the environment with worship, that's when we come together corporately. But I think the man of God must be able to give himself to the Word. And you can't give yourself to the Word without giving yourself to the Spirit. Because the Word of the Spirit says, come. And you have to read John, the epistles of John, to understand how they work in tandem. So the Holy Spirit, who's our teacher, our prophet, our educator, He will start, through prayer, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and tells you what to do, how to do it, etc. And I think this is an area. The other area that I want to piggyback on, what Kuba said, is all pastors can lose their insecurity concerning how they can expose the people to. You can't just send people to any prophet. You can't send them to any school of the prophets. But let's say I have legitimated Anthony and I've legitimated Sean, and I've said the Gate family are welcome to go to either one of them based on time zones and attend their school of the prophets. You are now safe because they can't steal your sons. Those sons can't pay their tithes to these guys. They can send gifts to them, but they can't send their tithes. Then you're safe. That's why it's so safe to be in the company of, in a family where there could be a company of prophets. Because we respect each other, we honor each other, we love each other, we protect, we're not insecure. You understand what I'm saying? And now you can benefit from it because your people, when they come back, they're going to strengthen you. If they can't strengthen you, that's a strange person. Then they've not learned anything. And we've got some spooky people, so you'll always have the spook. But I mean, generally you'll have great people that will come back to strengthen the house, contribute to the house, make the house better. And if you create a greater presence of the prophetic by exposing them to these schools, I think we will see a greater saturation of the prophetic in our houses, and we're crafting a great environment. And from time to time, you know, like I know in the Durban table, from time to time they'll send people to go, or they will have a set of teachings with all the churches coming to, and bring a teacher in like a Randolph, because he wants to teach them certain things, and they would agree to that, and so forth. These things have now happened in our circles. But I have to close this conversation here. We can only do one more session tomorrow. Okay, you'll have a final word now. We can only do one more session on this because the school is going. We've only got about another eight sessions. And I need to do a few more administrations before we leave and seal up this whole thing. But are you getting a good overview? We may not be able to answer all your questions here, but let me tell you, we've answered a lot of it. I've already answered, but I'll look at it and see what still needs to be added. Go ahead, Sean.
In my experience working within the context of prophetic activation schools, what the intention of such a school must have purpose, the reason why we do it. As Kurbus rightfully said, that the default setting of any son of God is to hear the voice of your Father through the Word. It's very important, through the Word. If you, as the senior man in your household, I'm talking the local household of faith, if you can't hear God, everything flows from the head down, isn't it? Within a house, we talk about the context of a local house now. Everything flows from the head down. If you are spiritually deaf and dumb, you're going to impart that to the people. It flows. So it's imperative that we start with the fathers of households. If you don't have a time with God, as Kurbus was saying, if you can't hear God's voice, you are not in prayer, you are not spending quality time with the Lord, you are not in the Word doing these five fundamental things for your personal engagement with God. You never hear the Word. You never read the Word. You never study the Word. You never memorize the Word. You never meditate on the Word. Spiritual meditation is an art that we have lost. You know, I have found out that in spiritual meditation, you can heal depression, anxiety, just by meditating on God's Word. But these are fundamental issues that helps you to locate the voice of the Lord. Very important. So it starts for me with a senior man. Then the prophetic activation school, the purpose of it is not to train you how to hear God. You can hear God, but maybe there are blockages. I call them the noise of the earth, the noise of the world has taken over your perception ability. So all that the prophet comes and do, he doesn't teach you how to prophesy. He doesn't teach you how to hear God's voice. All that he does, he takes away the noise that blocks your ability to hear your Father. That's all. But we also strive to help you to deepen your personal devotional time with the Lord. And do those five things. Hear the word, read the word, study the word, meditate on the word, and do all those things. That is your personal responsibility of each son of God. All of us. You see, this thing, sometimes we come into the local household, think the pastor is going to just have this magic wand and everything is going to be hunky-dory within the ministry. No, there is a responsibility, even how you hear the word of God. Like the Berean Christians. They would come, they would receive the word with gladness, but go back to go and check what was taught is true. So there's that responsibility also from that side, and there's a responsibility on this side. And all of us work together to create that environment. The last thing I want to say, Pastor Thamo, there's a scripture that the Lord gave, and I find that this scripture is so a beautiful scripture. That assists, it's in Proverbs 20, verse 27. I want to read it to us, a powerful scripture that the Lord is, I've meditated on this scripture many times. It says here that the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Now the lamp of God, your word is like a lamp. He's using prophetic imagery here to describe something of your spirit. So your spirit is the lamp of the Lord. How is the lamp lit? The lamp is lit in your engagement with the oil, which is the Holy Spirit. And what is the Holy Spirit's tools to light your lamp? It's the word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So you cannot, the spirit of man can't really become the lamp until that lamp is lit with the word of God. Now, when that lamp of your spirit is lit, it becomes so easy that your own spirit searches out the inner depths of your own heart. And when you come ready like that to a corporate environment like this, and you stand there worshiping God, readying yourself, and your spirit is the lamp of the Lord, the Holy Spirit just there would begin to speak to you, activate you. Things are going to happen on the inside of your spirit. But if your spirit has not been ignited with God's word, whether it be the doctrine that you have received, you have heard God's word, you have listened to the CDs, you've listened to the, and that word begins to sculpture, grip your heart. I mean, your spirit will be cut off from the life. And you will be there and say, but I've not received anything this morning in that corporate environment. So that's your responsibility. And each man of God must now, from now on, engage that process of personal engagement in prayer, fasting, in the word, in a devotional way, in your preparation before the Lord. Because we can't expect that to be done by our people, but we, as the ones that lead the house, is not doing it personally in our lives. Okay, Pastor Thamo.
Flawed character distorts prophetic reality. Sweet and bitter waters cannot come out of the same fountain.
Thank you. I think this is an interesting conversation. Please stand. Very interesting conversation that won't conclude, but seeds have been sowed into all our hearts. Now the Spirit of God must incubate it. Yes, we need prayer. Yes, we need fasting. Yes, we need the study of God's word. What we have to remember is that God speaks to fathers of households. I want to say that again. God speaks to fathers of households. but he often uses prophets to communicate his message to them. God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spoke through the prophets to the fathers, or spoke in the prophets to the fathers. If you want to sharpen your ear and you want to sharpen your sight or your sensory capacities, make sure that you belong to a family. I'm talking about a cluster. Make sure that you belong to a family which has a strong presence of apostolic and prophetic grace. I'm not saying the other graces are irrelevant. They will be definitely there. Make sure that a strong and powerful apostles and powerful prophets in that company, so that that presence can be transferred to you. And that's how fathers collaborate, and how fathers work together with the prophets. I learned that if something is lacking in me, that I must tug the coattail. I must hold on until I get what I can see in that person. So I chase fellow apostles to improve my capacity. I always stay close to prophets. I am never short as a result, never short of knowing how to administrate an environment. And most of the time, my wife will tell you, she will never see me open my notes. The last time I opened my notes for the school was Thursday in Plettenberg Bay. Before I came, Wednesday in Plettenberg Bay, we flew back that morning. That's the last time. I've never opened my notes at any time through the school until I came to teach here. I never premeditate what I'm going to say until I step here. And that's because I learned how to connect to grace. And I'm never short of knowing what to do. I never know what I'm going to pray any time I come here until I stand and pick up the frequency. And I know how to connect to the heavens and how to administrate that grace into the earth. I know how to let the ladder flow because I learned, and sometimes I'm extremely exhausted. Sometimes, like this last few days, I've been extremely ill. I've got 1,001 challenges on multiple levels right now as I speak to you. But because of this grace, I know how to let my spirit not be affected by soulish matters. And I know how to be in communion with the Holy Spirit. My spirit is always talking to that spirit, and vice versa. That's the kind of an anointing will come if you know how to stay plugged in. For most of this week, I've been too tired to even pray. But on my bed, I will always, my spirit is in communion. Sometimes I will open, in the middle of the night, the Lord will say something to me, and I'll open the Bible then. Too tired to go and lock myself up. I'm not saying that's the norm. Too tired. These schools drain you. But if you know how to stay plugged in, you don't have to act like a weird person. God will just step in. And this school has not been short of His presence. Every session has not been short of His administrations and His expressions of grace. If we plug in correctly, if we plug in, we will not be bankrupt. Because everything you need is in the implanted word that's already in you. The Holy Spirit comes to over that word and draw out all the things you need. Because the word is not in heaven. Christ is not in heaven. He's not in hell. He's in you. And He is in the words that we speak. Go and read Romans chapter 10. He's near you. You just need to know that there is something here. And that spirit in you speaks to your spirit and allows all those things to come forth. And we as leaders have to come to this place where we should not be bankrupt for messages. Right now, in the world that we're living in, pastors have sermon writers. They have researchers to prepare their 20-minute sermons with all those quotations they use. Mega churches are holding on to these kind of sermons. That's why our people are just a crowd. They're not the congregation of the Lord. They come in large numbers and they go because we're not hearing God anymore. We need to come back to this dimension where the prophetic becomes a reality. Are you hearing me here today? Are you hearing me? Lift your hands to the Lord. Lift your hands to the Lord. Ask Him to give us back His Spirit. Ask Him to give us back the capacity to reconnect. Sometimes there's a drop in the Wi-Fi. We just ask Him now to for a new frequency. Sometimes there's a disconnect between the heavens and the earth. We can't afford that anymore. No servant of God here should be bankrupt of His grace and of the Word. You shouldn't be Googling sermons. You shouldn't be borrowing them from commentaries. You shouldn't be taking ready-made sermons and there's books for that. You should know that God is speaking. So Father, I'm asking today that you will lose something in the atmosphere. That there will be wisdom in this place. Wisdom in this place. Counsel, understanding, because the Spirit with all His attributes are here. That there should be no famine, no drought, no lack amongst us. No shortage of hearing. So give us the skill of a listening ear. Revive our spirits. Open our eyes that we may behold the wonders of your word. Anoint our lips with coals of fire so that they drip with grace. That when people hear us speak, they will hear the voice of God in the voice of the angel. Raise the status of this house to that of the Malachi status, the messenger status, that we will become the messenger of the Lord, the postman of God, that messages from the cloud of glory, the cloud of witnesses, will drip up into our congregations. And the prophetic will become a reality. We will not just prophesy, we will all be prophetic. I pray for this, Father. I am sick and tired of all this nonsensical things we have to talk about when this should be an automatic expression, an automatic flow of grace amongst us. So, Father, I'm praying for the increase of the flows of your Spirit in the area of the office of the prophet. That those deposits will be made to every local church. And our people will start to operate on extraordinary levels to bring grace and glory to your name. That the children amongst us will speak prophetically. The young people will speak prophetically. There'll be no shortage of dreams and visions. Your word will flow. There will be a revival of the more sure word of prophecy. There will be hunger amongst our people. They will rush to the house of God. And eventually nations will flow to us to say, "You have the words. You know the law of God. Teach us the ways of God. Teach us the ways of God." Remove this folly from us, the immaturity,
the foolishness of asking things that are not from you. And I bless you, Father, for what you're going to do. I bless you. Give you glory and honor. Give you glory and honor. I declare upon you, you're going to see something happen in your houses. You're going to see a flow. You're going to see how your musicians, your all of the people in the house start to flow in ways we've not experienced before. Shock. I can see it. I can feel it. I can feel it. Ordinary people are going to speak the things of God in ways we've never experienced before. Like the priest in the old covenant, we're separated unto you by having the earlobe anointed, their thumb anointed, their toe anointed. I'm asking now for a fresh anointing on ear, hand, thumb, and toe, so that our hearing will impact our doing, and our doing will impact our momentum in the earth. I ask for that, Father. It's a new day, new day. Give you glory and honor. We bless your name. Amen. Amen. We'll continue in the Spirit. Continue under the flow of the Spirit, and you will see strange things and amazing things happening around tables, in fellowship, when you're in restaurants, shopping centers, on your beds. You're going to start to see how the Lord will start to speak. The stone is rolled away. You are loosed. We'll go in the grace of God, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this message. To access more teachings, we invite you to visit us at thamonaidu.com. Or for any other information, please contact us at info@thamonaidu.com.